Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. One of the real heroines in that war these days is Pamela Geller. You probably know her best for the work that she has done in calling attention to, warning about, and otherwise helping arouse Americans to the danger posed by what I think of as Sharia supremacism. She is the founder, the editor, and publisher of The Geller Report. You can find it at gellerreport.com. She is also the president of the American Freedom Defense Initiative and an organization called Stop Islamization of America. She has just published, in a most timely way, a brand new and very, very relevant book, Fatwa, Hunted in America. It is one of several of her bestsellers, this one on its way to becoming one, I'm quite certain, and couldn't be more timely in particular because of the attack this week in her native New York City. Pamela Geller, it's so great to catch up with you. Congratulations on your new book and on all of the work that you do. We're delighted to be able to showcase it a little bit here today.
Hey, thank you, Frank, for having me.
So just for the uninitiated, what is a fatwa and how does that bear on the challenges that you in particular, among others, are now facing?
Well, it's a good question. It's part of the reason why I named the book Fatwa, because it is a legal ruling by a recognized authority under Islam. And in this case, it's a death sentence. And they're very real. I mean, there have been a number of assassination attempts. Most are familiar with the Garland, Texas free speech event, which was attacked by two jihadis, but thankfully were taken out by my security team, my SWAT team. But just last week, in Boston, the ringleader of an Islamic plot to behead me was convicted on all charges and now faces a life sentence. So this is an ongoing thing. Fatwas have no expiration date. If you recall the Charlie Hebdo Paris Weekly, whose editorial staff was targeted and assassinated in cold blood because of a perceived insult to Islam. They had run a cartoon of Muhammad. Now, that fatwa was issued 2 years prior, and of course, everyone knows Salman Rushdie's fatwa, which was issued in 1989, and that's still very much in play.
The further point is that it is incumbent upon anyone who embraces this Sharia program to execute this kind of fatwa, is it not? It's not just it's a specific authorization for one particular individual to do it.
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, if you look at how the fatwas have been, executed, no pun intended, they're usually natives, in my case, American Muslims or the French Muslims. No, it's not geography. It's certainly not nationality. It's purely ideology.
And it's unfortunately symptomatic, isn't it, of what is really at work here with this supremacist doctrine and what makes it so worrying and what makes the work that you've been doing so important in trying to, clarify and call to arms, in effect, those of us who are not yet perhaps in the crosshairs, but will be in due course. And this brings me to the events of this week, Pamela, and I wanted to get your thoughts on the most recent jihadist attack in our country, the implications not only of this particular individual and his personal history, but as a sort of symptom of a much larger problem, particularly with respect to the infrastructure that inculcates and breeds and fosters jihadism inside this country.
Listen, it's absolutely predictable. I warned in my 2010 post-American presidency, the Obama administration's war in America, about diversity visas. I've been writing about them since 2009. This was going to happen. It was just a question of when. I want to make one note on something you said regarding the Sharia supremacism. If you recall, when the Salman Rushdie fatwa was issued, the world was galvanized behind him. Margaret Thatcher invited him to the 10 Downing, even though they were political adversaries and he was a vocal critic of Prime Minister Thatcher. But everyone understood and everyone stood behind Salman Rushdie. And now you fast forward 10 or 20 years and you see just how far the Sharia supremacists have advanced. To me, it's extraordinary, the response comparing Rushdie to now.
No, it's a very important insight, Pamela. And one other piece of this, which is also, of course, as you know so well, at work, is in addition to being intimidated or in a way suborned, we have an awful lot of other folks who are simply willfully blind to the problem, and that includes people in government. I know you've butted heads with the mayor of New York City, Mayor de Blasio, with some regularity. He was, of course, one of the first to describe this as an act of terrorism. But is it not the case, Pamela Geller, that he has helped dismantle the New York Police Department in some of the most important efforts it had been making to try to understand, have situational awareness of this threat and counteract it?
Bingo. Look, before he was elected, I ran ads pointing out that he meant to dismantle counterterrorism initiatives, that he would hurt our national security initiatives here in the city. And the fact is that mosque, the Masjid Omar of the New York terrorist, was under investigation. That mosque was under investigation, and it was Mayor de Blasio who dismantled that program. They were investigating. There were 20. They had over 20 they called radicalized, I may call devout, but let's not get into semantics, that they were deeply, deeply concerned with. Now, who's to say if they continued investigating this mosque that they could have thwarted this plot? And Mayor de Blasio is up for re-election next week. And I will tell you that in all likelihood, he will be re-elected. He is your worst nightmare. And you would think in this age that such things would be impossible, but they are very possible and they are very everyday because the people have been disarmed in the information battle space.
Right. Let me make two quick points, Pamela. One, first of all, you're so right. And this is a tipping point, and especially so because, as you know better than just about anybody, the enemy is emboldened when they see us doing this. They regard our political correctness or whatever we want to dress it up as submission, which simply is the red flag to the bull for more aggressive behavior. But Pamela, I wanted to just close with a quick question to you about the pressure that you are under, not just from the jihadis, the fatwa-wielding murderers, but from the left, who seek to silence you as well. Would you talk a little bit about, well, what amounts to kind of a red-green axis, a pincer movement, if you will, that is a threat not just, as you say, to you, but really to all of us?
This is exactly, you nailed it. It's the Red-Green Alliance. It's the leftist Islamic Alliance, and the jihadists and the Sharia supremacists could never have advanced as far as they have without their useful idiots on the left. And they are enormously powerful. Media, music, movies, academia, public schools. What they do is they won't engage with me in the information battle space. They won't debate me because I'll win. I will win because my ideas of individual rights and of equality for all before the law are better. And their ideas cannot stand up to scrutiny. Their ideas cannot stand up to challenge. So what do? They have this enormous machine, and they demonize, marginalize, they monsterize you. All you have to do is Google my name, and you would think I have horns, and that not because I'm Jewish, okay? And they have been very effective because there's only been a handful of us. And you know, they've not only been effective, of course, in the cultural zeitgeist, but particularly with the rhinos, with the Republicans on our side, the spineless, gutless wonders, for example, at CPAC. And I don't have to tell you what has gone down. I was banned at CPAC. And, you know, I consider myself a conservative's conservative. So we have a big problem on our hands. And I tell you it's because people have been misinformed. Let's look at the response. 4 hours after the New York jihad attack, you have NBC with the headline, Muslim Americans Brace for Backlash. This is the same thing that went on 9/11. There have been 30,000 deadly Islamic attacks since 9/11. And what do we get after an attack? We get dawah. We get proselytizing. What does that do? First of all, it's just motive. It attacks the kuffar. It attacks the targets. And we get this over and over and over again, the Dawa and the post-jihad attack. Now is the time for us to prophesize. It's incredible. Muslims brace for backlash. How about Muslims band together to demand that mosques institute programs that teach against the violent Quranic verses and teachings that incite to jihad?
Pamela, we have got to leave it at that. Thank you so much again for joining us and for introducing our audience to Fatwa Hunted in America. Very timely and important contribution to this information battle space. And I hope you'll come back to us again very soon with updates. In the meantime, stay safe, stay well. Next up, we will talk with Rosemary Jenks about immigration and more.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.